You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Like what you're hearing?
You bet!
Listen to this live 365 broadcast and many more on your smartphone. Download your free software today at live365.com/smartphone. You know, turns out you can take it with you.
Cool!
Texas shooting is a reminder that the country is not safe anymore. The American Civil Liberties Union wants to know whether police used airplanes to monitor last week's violence in Baltimore. The ACLU will file information requests today to learn more about two planes seen flying over areas where people were rioting. According to the Washington Post, a government official says Baltimore police asked the FBI to provide aerial support for efforts to stop the violence. Severe thunderstorms, heavy rains, and a chance of floods are sweeping down the plains this week. The heaviest thunderstorms will be over the southern plains today and Thursday. This is USA Headline News.
It only takes 7 seconds to make a good first impression, or a bad one for that matter. What if it only took 7 seconds to get to work in the morning? Think about it. 7 seconds from the bedroom to the workroom. The 7-Second Walk is a turnkey home business system. We are looking for individuals who would like to earn from $500 to $5,000 a month working from home with their own home-based business. All you'll need is a computer, internet access, and a telephone. You choose your own hours, and you can work in your PJs if you want. What most people like best about the 7-Second Walk is our national advertising campaign that can have customers calling you. We'll teach you everything you need to know to be successful. So if you could use some extra money and would like to be your own boss, go to 7secondusa.com and request your free info pack. I'll bet you could get used to a 7-second commute. Go to 7secondusa.com. That's 7secondusa.com.
State Department spokesman Jeff Rathke says the U.S. continues working through diplomatic channels to try and free a cargo vessel in the Strait of Hormuz.
We remain in contact with them to peacefully resolve the incident and ensure safe passage for the vessel.
The ship, which is registered in the Marshall Islands, was recently seized by Iran. Rathke noted that there are no Americans aboard and said there have been no injuries reported. He stressed the importance of maintaining a free flow of commerce in international waters. American officials have insisted that the seizure is not impacting U.S.-led talks aimed at ending Iran's nuclear program.
The U.S. maintains a robust presence in the region to deter destabilizing activities, also to safeguard the maritime links to the international community.
The mayor of the Dallas suburb where two men tried to attack a Draw the Prophet Muhammad contest wishes the event never happened. Garland, Texas Mayor Douglas Athes tells the Dallas Morning News it would have been better if the American Freedom Defense Initiative hadn't picked the Curtis Caldwell Center. California water officials are ordering water agencies to cut water use by a fourth, or people and businesses may face fines. This is USA Headline News.
Growth can be an intimidating six-letter word, especially when the guys upstairs want 7% of it. That's why you need one eight-letter word. Grainger. Granger. The G is for growth. From industry specialists to over 1 million products across almost every category, Granger has the resources to help us grow. Now can you guess what my favorite four-letter word is? W-O-R-K. Let's get back to it. Get it? Got it? Good. Call clickgranger.com or stop by. Granger. For the ones who get it done.
Warren Buffett fielded questions Saturday as the annual Berkshire Hathaway shareholders meeting took place in Omaha. The 50th annual event started off with a video featuring Buffett challenging Floyd Mayweather Jr. to a fight. Later, after beating Manny Pacquiao in Las Vegas, Mayweather gave a shout-out to the billionaire.
I got to drink that Warren Buffett drink. You know, he's a close friend of mine. You know, after a good championship fight, ain't nothing like a cold Coca-Cola.
Buffett was peppered this year with a barrage of questions about Coca-Cola, a company that Berkshire is a major investor in, and the impact of sugar on Americans' health. Buffett admitted that companies are going to be left with no choice but to respond to those type of concerns. He went on to joke at the same time, however, that a fourth of all his calories likely come from drinking Coca-Cola. Former President Bill Clinton is defending his foundation's past acceptance of millions of dollars from foreign governments.
I don't think there's anything sinister in trying to get wealthy people and countries that are seriously involved in development to spend their money wisely in a way that helps poor people and lifts them up. I don't think there's anything bad with that. I think it's good.
Clinton told NBC News his charity has never done anything, quote, knowingly inappropriate. The Clinton Foundation recently gave in to pressure and announced that from now on it will accept donations only from six Western governments. But the former president says that isn't an admission that accepting donations of $10 to $25 million by Saudi Arabia was a mistake.
I don't want to get into the weeds here. I asked Hillary about this, and she said, you know, no one's ever tried to influence me by helping you.
I'm Ron Taylor, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
And good morning. Welcome to Modern Design. I'm very happy to have as my guest back again, Bruce Brodack of Flemington Light and Fans, and on the series that we've been working on, What's New for Spring 2015. We're going to talk about what's new in lighting. So why don't you say good morning, Bruce?
Good morning, everyone.
Okay, well, we're going to start with the weather, and then we'll get right into our show. Let's see what the computer has for me as far as the weather is concerned. Okay. I think we all know it's raining from when we got up this morning, or at least there was some rain. The computer is telling me that today there's a 50% chance of showers with a high of 70 degrees. And after yesterday, that almost seems cold. Tonight it says mostly cloudy with a low of 53, which is pretty cold. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high of 79. That sounds more like it. Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low of 55. And Friday, mostly sunny with a high of 82. And it looks like we're going to have a nice weekend in the 80s. So sounds good, huh, Bruce?
Sounds wonderful.
Okay. For those of you who didn't turn in the first time Bruce came, Bruce is the owner of Flemington Fan and Lighting. And he's my go-to guy for any sort of lights, chandeliers, fans, and advice on how to do those things and how to do those things better. So why don't you tell us, Bruce, a little about yourself? Because you've been doing this for – you've been in several locations in the area, and you've been doing this for quite a long time.
I've been in the business for approximately 25 years, both in the fan business and in the lighting business. We specialize in finding products for the individual, helping them find the right product, not just giving them – a box with instructions as to how to. And we design lighting, as I said, for the individual person's needs.
What was your impetus into lighting? What brought you into lighting in the first place? Is that your background? Did you have a family business that started that way? What made you get into lighting?
Well, I was an educator for 11 years.
Okay.
And I got into the fan business back in the early 80s.
Okay.
When energy was a very, very large concern, as it is today.
Well, so people were starting to utilize fans as opposed to of air conditioning a whole house, in other words.
Ceiling fans were used to supplement air conditioning,
right,
and increase heating efficiency,
right,
and save money and make people more comfortable.
But was the impetus to get into that because you felt that was something that was going to be useful at the time, or it would be successful, or was there something?
Well, that was the impetus.
Okay.
Success.
Smart.
and a need. You know, we try to solve problems as we still do today.
Exactly. And talking about fans, I think fans have evolved a lot. You know, a lot of people say to me, oh, I don't like the look of fans. And I recently had that with a client, and actually she was a contemporary client that likes contemporary, so you'd think she'd be more into, you know, fans. And I said, have you taken a look at what fans look like today? And really, don't you think fans have evolved? They're actually, a lot of them are like pieces of art. They're beautiful.
Fans have come a long, long way, and they are, in fact, pieces of art.
Right.
We have a lot of wonderful, wonderful fan designs from major designers.
Right.
From major... very modern designers, contemporary designers in the field today.
Exactly.
And our fans are reflecting that,
yeah,
that image.
I tell you, when I moved into the current house that I live in, I tell this story a lot, is I've always built my own houses. My dad, the reason that I got into design is that my dad was a custom home builder, and my mother would say, take him to work with you, Rick. So as a teenager, in the summers and so on, I would be thrown into work with my father. And I really got involved into the finishes. That's what sort of appealed to me. I wasn't great with my hands and, you know, hitting nails in, but I liked the finishes. I liked what molding did to a room and trim. And I loved when a house was, you know, he'd build a house and it was like just framed, and the possibilities were endless. And that sort of piqued my interest in design and so on, and just sort of evolving. But that being said, this is the first house I've ever lived in that I didn't build first. And in my master bedroom, there was a ceiling fan, and I was like, get that thing out. You know, we're doing the demo work. I'm like, get that fan out of here. A couple people said to me, which I don't usually always take other people's advice when it comes to design, you know what? Live with the fan for a little while. It's just a simple white fan. You'll see the room is big. You don't know how your HVAC is going to be in the place you didn't build it. And I tell you, I had that fan on last night, and it's so comfortable. I mean, not only, I think, in bedrooms is a ceiling fan nice because, again, it's not just cooling. It's also what you say about heating, right? Because there's a reverse setting. Explain that to our listeners about how the whole fan thing with the reverse works with heat and cooling.
Well, ceiling fan works on the principle of evaporative powers of moving air.
Right.
When you have an air conditioning system, let's say you want to cool your home. Most people cool at 74, 75 degrees. What ceiling fans enable you to do or allow you to do is set your thermostats higher.
Right.
Raise your thermostat, turn your fan on, now you're circulating air, so you're feeling 5 to 10 degrees cooler at a much higher setting.
Right.
So let's say you set it 78 rather than 68. Well, you're going to feel like 68, paying for 78. So your air conditioner works less.
Right.
You're much more comfortable. And on most days, you don't need your AC.
Exactly, because you're getting that
moving air. You're moving air. Very simple principle. And that's one of the reasons why people should look at fans that do the job, not just turn for the sake of turning.
But doing the job, definitely. Let me ask you a question on that. A lot of people are very questioned me when they're doing renovations of their home of putting attic fans in to blow the air into the down and so on. Do you deal with them at all with whole house attic fans?
We do. Not as much as we did in the 70s and 80s because people in the summertime in this area want to retain the basic integrity of their environment. They don't want to have pollens coming through the house.
Okay.
The way attic fans work or whole house fans work, you open windows and the air is expelled through the attic through
the
fan.
Exactly.
And you're bringing in pollens and other pollutants.
Didn't even fathom that portion.
Now, what people are doing in place of whole house fans today, they're using attic ventilators, which extract large amounts of heat from the attic, making it easier for air conditioners to operate.
Right. Well, my whole thing about the fan was I thought what it did was it blew the hot air out of the stored air out of the attic, and then it would just go out through the ridge vents on a
That's correct. Vent. That's exactly
so
what
that's
the attic fans do.
So called more of you said a ventilator?
It's an attic ventilator, yes.
See, we learn every each week we can learn stuff on Modern Design, and I learn as well attic. So I have the terminology down. Not a fan, but actually an ventilator.
Attic ventilator, and they are fans.
Okay.
So you are correct.
Okay. So that is something that you also sell?
We do. Yes, we do.
Because, the cost of utilities are going to just continue to go up. And it's,
you
have a lot of us in Hunterdon County have large homes, and it really makes a difference. So if you can keep your energy costs down and do something and have a comfort level, then we have to look into those things.
Well, ceiling fans are the only appliance that actually put money in your pocket.
Wow.
They save you money for perpetuity, and these fans have wonderfully long lifespans.
Right.
Good fans do. The cheapies, well.
Not so much.
Not so much.
Exactly. All right, we're just about to go to commercial, and we'll talk a little bit more with Bruce about fans and lights and what we can do for 2015 spring to make our home updated and modern here on Modern Design.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
I'm Dave Lang with Insight Financial Services and a proud member of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Even in this difficult economy, our family of companies, including Insight Financial, Premier College Funding, and the Insight Tax and Accounting Group, have grown and prospered. I believe that our participation in all of the opportunities that the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce offers to its members strongly contributes to our success.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Unionville Vineyards is the perfect destination for wine tastings and tours, corporate events, birthday parties, or your special day. Located in East Amwell, New Jersey, Unionville Vineyards offers an escape from the rush of daily life and a chance to relax in the beautiful countryside. Our tasting room is open 7 days a week, 12 to 5 p.m., excluding major holidays. For more information, contact us at unionvillevineyards.com or call us at 908-788-0400.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntonChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to hold its second annual Hunterdon County Community Day on Saturday, June 13th from 12:30 to 6:30 at the Hunterdon County Fairgrounds in Ringo's. We thank our presenting sponsor, Hunterdon Healthcare, and the Hunterdon County Freeholders. Come get involved, be a vendor, an exhibitor, if you're a business or an organization. Come get before thousands of folks on this great day. Contact the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at HuntertonChamber.org. Once again, join us on Hunterdon County Community Day, Saturday, June 13th. Get involved with your community today.
And we are back with more of Modern Design. For those of you who would like to come visit me, I'm located conveniently at 1 U.S. Highway 31 in Flemington, New Jersey. I'm in with John from Rugs to Riches, and we have a variety of furniture, accessories, dishes, unique gift items, as well as a full line of collection of high-end rugs, broadloom carpeting, and hardwood floors. My guest today is Bruce Brodack. I'm pronouncing that right, I hope, of Flemington Fans and Lighting. He's my go-to guy for all things lighting and fans. And in our last segment, we were talking about fans and how we become fans of fans because they really save you a lot of money. What I wanted to talk about to transition a little bit is about lighting on fans. And something that I found in my experience is that a lot of times on fans, if you have a light kit on fans, not can pretty much almost any fan accept the light kit.
Pretty much.
Are they designed basically to
work
that
fans way? Are designed to accommodate lighting, yes.
I didn't used to be, a fan of light kits on fans because often they were individual, almost like Victorian-looking fixtures, cups, if you will. And then to me, visually, when the blades went around, the shadow that the light gave off was really terrible. In fact, it was hard for you to look at a fan that had a light on it. But then when they went to the light kits that they have now, which is more of an enclosed, a dome.
An integrated light kit, yes.
You don't get that anymore.
Correct.
Sort of true?
That is
very
true.
What was the deal with the original light kits? They were just terrible.
They were afterthoughts.
Okay.
And the fans were
used.
It was
like a strobe, right, when you were looking at it?
It was a strobe, yeah.
Right.
And the original fans were designed to be fans, and then they kind of put lighting on. As I said, as an afterthought,
right.
But the new lights are integrated for the most part into the fan or above the fan,
right.
Use them as mood or accent lighting,
right.
And they also can provide light because now they come with LEDs or halogens,
right.
Or xenon,
right. So you can get a significant amount of light.
You can get
fan.
A lot of light if you require a lot of light.
Right.
Yes.
especially when you're in an older home where really the only source other than lamps would be that overhead lamp.
Just to have center lights and fans have taken over that
exactly
that place.
Exactly.
That's correct.
Okay, great. The series that we're doing now is all about spring 2015, and I want to, while we're still on fans, I want to go on and see if there's anything that you feel is sort of current or trending in regards to fans. Is there a shape or a style or a look or a technology in 2015 that you're starting to see as new in fans?
Well, contemporary fans have always been at the forefront, more so today.
Okay.
Because of the contemporary aspect that
people are looking for. Well, the trend of contemporary style, exactly.
Exactly, minimalist and contemporary. A lot of new and exciting designs abound today. Matthew fans, Fanimation fans, okay. Quorum fans. These are some of the manufacturers that we carry, and they have in their banquet of products a lot of very, very modern, good-looking fans. Trending, it's natural materials, a lot of stainless steel,
yeah.
A lot of matte finishes.
Right.
But everything is more of a natural
look.
Rather than faux finishes and kind of heaviness.
Exactly.
That's not as popular today.
Right. It seems heavy, all those some of those finishes and stuff. So the clean lines of the natural wood and the metal. In fact, those two gray metals and then the warmth of wood are a really nice combination.
Very nice combination. Teak and stainless or teak and pewter.
Right.
Teak and oil rub bronze, they look really, really
nice.
Well together, yes.
Yeah, because they're natural colors. They're
natural.
So
mm-hmm.
I've seen some fans recently in an ad for a magazine, and the fans almost look like it was like one blade. Did you ever see that?
It's called the Enigma, yes.
What is that? How could that make air move? I mean, it looked sort of odd to me. But
well, it's an Enigma.
Okay.
It's an Enigma.
There you go.
And that's the name of the fan.
Okay.
And what it does, it's a counterbalanced one blade, and it swishes the air. Doesn't move a great deal of air, but it looks very, 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 very neat.
So it's more about style than
it's
about movement.
It's all about style.
I just didn't think it could possibly give you the circulation of air that a regular fan would give you.
To be quite honest, it does not, and it's not a very inexpensive fan, but it does generate interest, and it does... It's a focal point.
Exactly.
As are a lot of chandeliers today.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, the big issue that I have, or the question comes if I take over a project, and I work for a couple of realtors. So someone will close on a property, a resale, and I'll come in. And then when I'm doing their master bedroom, there's always the question is, do we put a chandelier over the bed in the master?
Should we or shouldn't we?
Or should we put a fan over the bed? And more than not, unless there's something that's specific to their desires, you know, for the room to have a certain look, more than not, I always recommend a fan. You know, and now the fans are so good looking.
It's a very good recommendation, yeah.
They're becoming a statement. And I've had people say to me, oh, no, I want a chandelier. I want mm-hmm. a chandelier. I've also seen some fans now that almost have a chandelier-like quality to them. Have you seen that as well?
I have.
Have arms on them? They kind of have a chandelier-like look.
I have, but in reference to that last point,
right?
A lot of people use chandeliers and they offset the chandeliers, so they put the chandelier in a corner or over a table,
right? Right. Or as lighting,
exactly
on the sides,
right,
right.
And they also utilize the fans because
right.
you spend 8 to 9 hours a day in your bedroom.
Right.
And rather than cool your entire house.
Exactly.
You're cooling your bedrooms.
You know, and even with central air, there's something about a fan, and I don't know if this is just me personally, but I'm sure the new fans are you know, extremely quiet, but the hum, the whole experience of a fan to me is very somewhat relaxing.
Very tranquil, yes.
Yeah, there's a tranquility to it. So I right. really recommend, if in no other room in your house to put a fan, specifically a master bedroom is definitely
the first
place
that I put a fan in my home.
Exactly.
The bedroom's
exactly.
a wonderful spot.
I want to transition because we only have an hour and it goes by so quickly. I wanted to talk a little bit about trends for spring, and I wanted to transition about what we talked about a little bit yesterday, which is outside lighting,
mm-hmm.
which I think is so critical, and things are so beautiful right now. I took a walk yesterday. I had an appointment in Lambertville, and I had some time before the appointment. I walked through the streets, and things are just so beautiful right now. Everything is in bloom and so on. And I was noticing facades of homes and outdoor lights, and I was seeing, you know, what I saw that was new and trending and so on. And there's a lot of variety to exterior lights on a house. And I'm wondering, is there anything that seems to be in style now? I noticed I was seeing a lot of black as far as...
Matte black is very popular,
matte,
yes.
Matte black, a lot of oil rub bronze. Not so much shiny brass, more the matte finishes, blacks and browns a lot. And also the metals and silvers.
There exists today so many wonderful designs of outdoor lighting, so much diversity, and a lot different from what we were used to in the past.
Right.
If you noticed in the past, you would go to different homes and you would see the same lighting over and over
and
over again. Every house had the same lighting.
Exactly.
And it not true anymore.
Right.
Because there are very, very modern, very, very well designed outdoor lighting that give you the safety factor.
Right.
Plus the added benefit of what's called dark sky tonight.
Okay, what's that?
Dark sky is it's called dark sky compliant, and what it does, it eliminates lighting pollution. People move to the country, they want to see stars, they want
exactly.
to see starry nights. And when you have a lot of outdoor lights, it's light pollution.
Right.
So these lights are designed to eliminate a lot of the light pollution.
Hmm.
And they're called dark sky.
Interesting.
Very interesting. And beautiful designs. Unbelievable designs. And some of the manufacturers that have really wonderful designs, a company called Hinckley.
Oh, Hinckley does.
Hinckley has beautiful outdoor lights. We just did a home out in the Hamptons with Hinckley.
Hinckley lights
as the main source. Yeah,
I think the outdoor lights are very critical to a look of a home. And I always say I look at a house, I guess because it's what I do for a living. But I do drive-bys all the time, and I always take notes, and I always have my phone with me so I can photograph things that I think are beautiful. And the beginning of that is your facade. It's your front door and those lights. I mean, they're very critical
to your
appeal of the home, and I think that they should match. If you have a Victorian home, you should have a Victorian-style light. If you have a contemporary home, you should have a minimalist type of a light. If you have a traditional home, you know, some type of a lantern.
A lot of people lose sight of sizing of the outdoor lights.
Oh, my God. You just beat me to the punch. I was going to ask you, what is the – when you do your drive-bys or you go – you know, you're on your way home and you're stuck in traffic and you're looking at residential houses, what's the biggest mistake people make?
Major mistakes.
And
you see too big or too small. Some of the lights on posts look like shrunken heads.
Right.
It's a ridiculous look. Some are so oversized that they look like they're going to topple.
I went recently to a house in Hunterdon County that wanted me to do some staging. The house was done pretty well. I mean, the house was empty, but I had to bring some rental furniture in for the people and pictures and so on. But the lights in this big house that was also far from the road were, I mean, they were like the size of
Minuscule.
A coffee cup.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And one thing I think that we should stress is that proportion is key.
Very important.
And also distance from the road.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a large home and a big front door and big side lights, you need big lights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has to be in proportion.
Whether you use pillars or you use posts, the light on top of that is directly proportional to the size of the house and the distance from the roadway.
And I'm also big on that all the lights on a house should match. So if you have two oil rub bronze or, you know, brownish fixtures on the front, now they shouldn't necessarily be in the same size in other places because maybe you have a side door where it should be smaller or in
correct.
Between the garage doors, but they should all have the same finish. There should be a continuity throughout.
That's correct.
But I do see people, the story looks to me as if they've replaced stuff over time and they just did what they liked at the time.
Or what was on sale that afternoon.
Exactly.
You know,
mixed finishes, and that just looks terrible on
it. So it was a good buy at the time of purchase. When they put it up, then they have buyer's remorse. Keep it.
Right. Here's something that comes up quite a bit, and we're just about to come to commercial, is about motion sensors on lights. I hear both good and bad things about having motion sensors on lights. How do you feel about that?
I feel that that's a product that is determined by the absolute need. I don't like them in the country. We have a lot of deer. We have a lot of animals that walk past our properties,
right?
And you're going to get an on-off effect
all the time. That's a problem.
Right, dawn to dusk is better.
Right,
timers are better, But if you need a motion detector at an outbuilding, then I would use it. But I would not use it on a front porch. I would not use it on a garage door.
Right. It's just too much.
That, yeah.
I agree. Okay, we're about to go to news, and we'll be back with more of Modern Design.
USA Headline News. I'm Ron Taylor. ISIS says it has dozens of soldiers in more than a dozen U.S. states. The terrorist group posted the claim online Tuesday, saying it has 71 fighters in 15 states across the U.S. Former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani tells Fox News the online warning from ISIS shouldn't be taken lightly.
Take them seriously. Don't discount it. And it may even be an understatement.
The group says its fighters are ready to attack, quote, any target we desire. ISIS singled out anti-Muslim blogger Pamela Geller and, quote, anyone who hides or hosts her in its threat. Geller organized Sunday's Prophet Muhammad cartoon contest in Garland, Texas. Maryland's governor is expected to address the state of emergency in Baltimore today. Governor Larry Hogan said that he would lift the order after the last of the National Guard troops leave the city. The German wing's co-pilot accused of intentionally crashing a jetliner in the French Alps is now accused of practicing on an earlier flight the day of the crash. A report released today says Andreas Lubitz set the altitude dial to 100 feet five different times while alone in the cockpit. This is USA Headline News.
Hey, here's your delivery from Staples.com.
Thanks, Staples guy. My office needs coffee bad. Got any?
Yep, and at a low price.
You have cups?
Staples has 12-ounce cups, 8-ounce recyclable.
Stirs, filters, creamers, sweeteners?
Stirs, filters, creamers, sweeteners, K-cups.
Hazelnut, French vanilla, French roast, dark, light, medium, bold, extra bold?
And decaf.
Why would you say that? Why would you say that? Why would you say that?
No reason. Make on budget happen. Make caffeinated happen. Staples, make more happen. Now at Staples, get a 33.9-ounce can of Folgers Classic Roast Ground regular coffee for just $6.99.
Offer valid on Q846030 in store and online. It's 5.9 while supplies last. See storestaples.com for details.
And we are back with Modern Design. Again, if you'd like to come visit me at my showroom, I'm conveniently located in Flemington at the Flemington Circle, 1 U.S. Highway 31, Flemington, New Jersey. Also, I've been getting texts and emails from you. If you'd like to send me pictures of your design dilemmas, I'd love to take a look at them. I do respond and send you back information, and perhaps you may be a guest on a future show. My phone number is 908-884-0770, 908-884-0770, or you can email me at CajunMaven, CajunMavin at AOL.com. I'd be glad to take a look at any of your design problems. If you're just tuning in at this point, my guest is Bruce Brodack of Flemington Fan and Lights, and we're talking about what's new for 2015 spring in lighting and what the trends are and fans and lights and what's going on. Bruce, why don't you tell our listeners where you are located?
My new showroom is located on Route 20231 in Ringo's, New Jersey, right next to Fred Bean's Toyota.
And I always tell people by Sears, because people know Sears.
Sears, and across the street from the inspection station, which people also know.
Definitely a good landmark. And there's a good pizza place in there, too.
Good pizza place in there.
Okay, you know where my head is at. Anyway, so before we went to commercial, we were talking about outdoor lighting. And Bruce brought up, when we were on break for news, he brought up something that's very important. We talked about exterior lighting, facade lighting, lighting between the garage base. Is now people are setting up their summer, they're cleaning off their patio tables, and they're setting up their decks and their patios for the summer season. And you had brought up something which I think is really interesting about outdoor fans. So why don't you tell us a little bit about outdoor fans and how they work? And that's kind of interesting.
Well, outdoor fans make a major statement and major comfort statement. In addition to making you more comfortable, they move insects.
Wow.
And we started selling ceiling fans actually to horse barns years ago.
Okay.
To move insects.
Because they're a deterrent to the insect?
An insect's not going to stay in an area and just hover while there's moving air.
Right.
You know, it's like, hey Oscar, let's get out of here because this is too hard to
maintain
our place.
No, simplistic, but is it just because it's uncomfortable for them, or could they get sucked in?
Well, no, it's very uncomfortable. It's like swimming upstream.
Okay.
In a river that's flowing very fast.
And I guess that's sort of more environmental friendly than spraying much these horrible pesticides and chemicals and stuff.
Exactly. That's one of the reasons why we were doing rain sheds and barns of major horse farms throughout the country.
That's actually really smart. I mean, that's not something that I've ever really thought of as putting a fan outside.
Right.
That's just amazing.
Mm-hmm. And when you put a fan outside, it's important that the fan be not only damp rated, but wet rated.
Okay.
You have blowing rain,
right?
Which could have a major effect on ceiling fans, so people should not put a indoor fan outside.
Oh, of course.
But people do.
But fans that are rated for outside or meant specifically for outside, are they
you could put an out, you could put an outdoor fan inside if you like the style of it.
Right.
Just because it has a wet rating doesn't preclude the fact that you can put them inside.
No, but I guess my question is, so if you have an outdoor fan, you do decide to do that or invest in that to keep the bugs away, which is, you know, what's the point in staying out if there's, and we have such a bug problem. They said this year is going to be a particular bug problem also, so mm-hmm. something to be wary of. And try something like that, which I definitely will. Does that fan, like my barbecue grill, does that get a cover at the end when you stop using it?
You don't have to, nope. We do restaurants, and the fans are left outside all year long. They can be put on pedestals. They uh-huh. can be put under umbrellas. They can right. be freestanding with a pedestal.
I kind of think that might be kind of nice looking, actually.
Or they could be installed in a pergola
okay.
or in a gazebo.
Nice. I see more and more, our season isn't as long as, you know, West Coast or South, but I've seen more and more people wanting me to create outdoor rooms. And that is a perfect example of comfort. I went to a family function a number of years ago, and in the pool area, which was open, there was a pool room, if you will, but it was just basically open. They pushed a button, all of a sudden like a mist came down to keep the guests on the stools cool. And this is sort of along the lines of that. People are looking for outdoor comfort when after the winter
very
we had
important.
People want to get outside and do those sorts of things. So outdoor fans, that's something very, very interesting. And is there a manufacturer or a couple of manufacturers that you recommend?
I do. There's a company called Quorum, Quorum.
Okay.
Which has a major, major... line of outdoor wet location fans.
Uh-huh.
You can change colors and blades and styles, and they all have lifetime warranties on the motor, so it's not something that you put up for 1 year, one season, and you discard it. It's something that has longevity
wow.
and function and very strong motors.
And is there some sort of an additional coating on them, so just when they're exposed to the elements, they don't pit and so on?
They're powder-coated, which prevents pitting and decomposition. Yep.
That's terrific.
Wow. And the blades are not wooden. They're a polystyrene, so right. they're weather-resistant, like a football helmet.
So they could really go season to season?
They go season to season.
That's terrific. Correct. I'm going to get an outdoor fan. You're going to give me a discount, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. That's another thing I want to mention about Flemington fans and lighting. I have not lost a deal to Bruce for price. He's very price competitive. He works with – I shouldn't speak on how you work, but you're very fair with people with their pricing.
Well, we advertised – we have internet pricing with personalized service, and I often ask people, what aren't you getting when you buy online? Well, you're not getting service. You're not getting follow-through.
And probably not quality. I know that if I buy something from you, Bruce, that it's quality.
Well, you have no idea what you're buying online. It's a picture.
Exactly.
And
we'll
tell you what not to buy and what to buy.
Exactly.
That's the big difference.
Exactly.
Just like you in design. I mean, you're gonna keep people out of the gutter in terms of buying the wrong furniture.
Well, you know what? I think when you make a purchase, I think it's very important that if you're working with somebody, it's also their years of experience and knowledge and what works, and more important, what they found didn't work. So mm-hmm. that makes your experience that much better because you have that wealth of knowledge when it comes to what to do and not to do.
It's not a matter of what you spend. It's how you spend your money and what you get for your money. It's a matter of goodbyes after the day of purchase. I mean, some fans, you buy the first day on price,
right.
and then you find out they don't work, or they're noisy, or they wobble,
right.
or you have a problem and you can't service them.
Right.
And that, you know, and that 20 cents you saved, or whatever you saved on the fan the first day, is long gone.
Exactly. One of the things I wanted to talk to you about also, and our time again goes so fast, is about other types of lighting that we're seeing trending. And one of the things that you brought up, which was interesting because it wasn't on my list today, but, you know, it comes up absolutely all the time. I do a lot of kitchens at Maven Hill Designs. I do a lot of renovations of kitchens and baths. And the issue comes with under-counter lighting all the time. Everybody wants good, you know, not only is it task lighting, but it's attractive because people are spending money on their backsplashes and they want their backsplashes
to be illuminated, yes.
And the way that we used to do under-counter lighting in kitchens and now is completely different. And there's a variety of ways to light underneath a kitchen cabinets. So I wanted you to talk about that, what you recommend or what are the different types of undermount lighting for kitchens.
Sure. What you were talking about originally is fluorescent lighting used to
those
illuminate.
Big long bulbs.
Big
right?
long bulbs that flickered and buzzed and
made noise.
Hummed and you had to change the bulbs very, very frequently.
Right.
And it was a very cold light.
No, it was more about just sort of giving them some sort of functional lighting, but it right. wasn't attractive at all.
It wasn't attractive at all. It was just so you wouldn't cut your finger off when you were working on your counter.
Exactly.
Today, lighting under the counter has evolved dramatically.
Oh, I agree.
You can get LEDs that you'll never, ever, ever have to change a bulb.
Okay.
Now, just like anything else, there's a variety of different quality of LEDs. You don't have to spend a lot to get really quality lighting.
Right.
And quality lighting to me is the longevity factor, the integrity of the actual light that you get that's emitted. You can get them in a number of different colors, depending upon the Kelvin. So you can get warm light or cool light, or a combination of the two.
Right.
You don't have to have spotlight, as in old pucks.
Right. So let's break it down a little bit because we're getting a little bit technical here. Let's talk about the different types of light. So you say there's fluorescent and LED.
There's fluorescent, there's halogen, there's xenon, and now there's LED.
So can you tell us, just to boil it down, the difference?
Sure. The difference is with fluorescent, they were tubes.
Okay.
With pucks would look like hockey pucks,
yes,
which are round little objects.
I had pucks in my house in 1991. I had pucks.
Exactly. Yeah. And pucks, the advantages is they give light. The disadvantage is they get extraordinarily hot.
Yes.
And they damage your furniture and your cabinets.
Right.
Xenon is a little different light, a little cooler light, but a little more efficient.
Okay.
And today there's LEDs, which are light emitting diodes.
Okay.
Which provide same type of light, but come in a variety of different functional installation packages.
Okay.
They're very, very thin. They're an eighth of an inch or less in thickness, so you don't see them. They have life expectancies of 30, 40 years.
Right.
And they're so cost effective to run.
To run.
I just did a kitchen yesterday. They're replacing actually halogen lights.
Uh-huh.
They were approximately 300 watts to run it. We replaced it with an 11-watt system.
Oh, my goodness.
11 watts.
Cost savings must be dramatic. Tremendous. But let's just talk about the units themselves. So I'm familiar originally with the long tubes that were the fluorescent.
Mm-hmm.
Then it transitioned to sort of the puck lighting, which did get very hot.
Mm-hmm.
So currently, what would you now? I've seen the rope lighting where it's the long plastic or what have you tube with the lights in it, and then I've seen some other. What would the unit be that you would suggest that someone places underneath their cabinets?
As I said, they come in a variety of different types.
Right, but what would
what
you
we're
recommend?
Using right now
right.
is a company called Diode.
Okay,
LED. That's their main focus. That's all they do are LEDs. And the piece that we use, it's a strip.
Okay.
And it's approximately a tenth of an inch in thickness. You can get them in different varying lengths.
Okay.
And they take the place of rope lighting or the long.
But this is not a rope. This is a hard, it's a
little strip.
Okay.
It's about a quarter of an inch wide.
Is it a metal strip?
It's a metal strip.
Okay.
And the diodes are on it.
Okay.
And they go right under the cabinet. And they're affixed to the bottom with clips.
Mm-hmm.
And they run exactly like regular lighting.
Wow.
The only thing that drives them is something called a driver.
Okay.
Another word would be a transformer, but it's a driver. It converts the power and drops the power down.
Great.
And you'll never replace. Yeah, it's the same price, and you'll never replace a bulb.
That is wonderful. Okay, we're about to come up to commercial, and we will be back shortly with more of Modern Design.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Hi, my name is Debbie Lentenny of Ashore Shred. I love being a member of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Active involvement in it has given us numerous opportunities to meet other business owners and simultaneously has helped Ashore Shred to grow.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Are you interested in learning more about Hunterdon County? Are you interested in growing as a professional and as a leader? Then Leadership Hunterdon may be for you.
Hi, this is Chris Bianco, class of 2014 Leadership Hunterdon. Work with other local dedicated professionals to learn about the complexities and interconnectedness of Hunterdon County.
We invite you to visit one of our many upcoming sessions as we begin to recruit the class of 2016.
Learn from and connect with established business, government, and community leaders.
Leadership Hunterdon, an in-depth 9-month program offered by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce.
And honored via invitation to help Hunterdon County with its challenges and shape its future. These are just some of the virtues of being part of Leadership Hunter.
Contact us at 908-782-7115 or visit our website, hunterdonchamber.org, for more information today. You're listening to hunterdonchamberradio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
And we're back with Modern Design. My guest today is Bruce Brodeck of Flemington Fans and Lighting. And we were talking about what's trending in lighting, what are the new products, what's out there. And most recently, we were talking about under-counter lights for your kitchen and what the newest thing on that is. Bruce, again, why don't you tell us how to contact you?
Again, we're located on Highway 31202, right across from the inspection station, in a brand-new showroom. It's about 8,000 square feet. And we can be reached at 908-782-8288, and that's the best contact, or you can email us at flemingtonlining.com.
Exactly. Good. Good. A lot to choose from in the showroom, but also in the books. If you don't see something you like on the floor, he's got plenty of books, and they can get anything for you and at very fair pricing. But before we went to break, we were talking about under-counter lights, but now I want to transition a little bit about what we're all about at Modern Design, is that is what's modern, not necessarily say what's contemporary, but what is trending? What's the new things that you're seeing? And you get a pulse for that with lighting because every day people are coming in with a wish list. And that may be because someone went on the internet and they went to house.com or one of these other websites and they say, oh, this is the newest thing I want.
This is hot, yep.
And more, I think lighting is becoming a statement. It's becoming more fashion. As much as it's driven, you know, initially it was driven on task because you can't sit in a dark room at night. I guess you can, but probably you're more efficient if you're sitting in a lit room at night. But lighting has become fashion, don't you think?
Lighting is a focal point of any room.
Right.
It's the centerpiece.
Right.
It's the jewelry. It's the, you know,
jewelry is a good word to describe lighting and so on.
A lot of people buy a very expensive dress and they throw a string around their neck, and it kind of ruins the look.
Exactly.
And lighting does the same thing. It doesn't do the same thing as a string, but it accentuates the qualities of a room and it becomes a focal point. It becomes the art center.
Exactly. So what are you seeing people asking for when they come in? What do you see a lot of, or what are you hearing?
Actually, we're seeing a lot of crystal, a lot of crystal being incorporated into design. It's not your grandmother's old crystal that once was and that you cleaned for hours. Little diodes behind the crystal are being utilized. A lot of clean crystal, lot of clean chandeliers with crystal accents are being used. Again, simple. Very simple, very elegant. We see a lot of colored crystal, a lot of amber.
Uh-huh.
As a matter of fact, one of the chandeliers that we delivered to one of your clients we went with a teak.
Right.
And it just gorgeous with the brass. And that's something that you would not think would work until you saw it.
That's
and then
beautiful.
it just beamed. It was a beautiful look.
And then colored crystals, I don't interrupt you, but colored crystals don't necessarily have to be black. They could have
but
they also could be or ruby red. They could just have sort of a tinge of
they
color.
They could have hints of,
right.
of
subtle
of
color. And I'm seeing a lot of that as well, as opposed to just a solid clear.
Exactly.
You could do something that has a sort of an undertone of color,
exactly.
Which is nice because crystals reflect the light. And if you alter that base a little bit, it reflects what you get.
Yes, you do. Yep, it accentuates whatever else you have in the room.
Exactly.
It could be hues of violet or hues of magenta or any color that you might want to incorporate or utilize in your room you can get in crystal.
Are there any shapes that you're seeing or different? One of the things that's been around for a while but I'm getting requests for now is because I think of the cleaner look is people continue in bedrooms want to have swing arm lights, that is kind of like of our mics, swing arm lights to come out. They don't want to do necessarily lamps on their bedside tables. Often now bedside tables are not necessarily a matched pair. They might be a chest and one might be a table, so they may be at different heights and so on. But what people are asking me for bedroom lighting, for reading lighting, is
very
more
popular
of a,
today,
like a
yes.
swing lamp, if you will.
Many, many styles.
Uh-huh.
The one thing that I would stress is if you're thinking of bedside lamps, make sure they're at least three-way.
Okay.
Three-way lamping, which means you can up the ante with the amount of light that you need or also dampen it. You can go 50, 100, 150 for reading.
Right.
Very important. And make sure the quality of the piece is such that when you move it, it doesn't fall off the side of your wall.
Exactly.
So quality is very important.
Quality is always key.
And you don't
sure.
have to pay a lot for good stuff. You just have to know what the good stuff.
It's being knowledgeable, I
exactly.
think.
Exactly. The more you know, the better decision that you're going to make.
Bruce, what else are you seeing out there that's maybe new or reinvented? What about sconces? Are sconces in or out?
It depends upon the environment.
Sconces can be very contemporary too. They don't have to be old world, you know. They can be anything you want them to be.
Again, it layers the light in a room, which is very, very important.
Right.
Instead of having one room lit by one light in the center,
which kind of
separates the light and creates shadows.
Right.
You layer lighting so the entire room is is lit, and
right.
It just makes a nice statement.
Well, I like in a dining room, and particularly if you do have a fortunate to have a separate dining room, and it's a formal room and it's a large room. I'm not a big fan of recessed cans in a dining room. So if you have a center chandelier and the room is such that you really need lighting behind it, I think sconces are a terrific source of ambient light.
They are. And they're also used a lot in theater rooms.
Right. Right, libraries theater rooms, or theater rooms, exactly.
Bathrooms also.
Right, right.
Master baths.
Exactly.
Bedrooms.
Powder rooms.
You know, absolutely. Actually, they're used throughout the house. They're
right.
used in hallways.
But the one thing that you get to think, I think that people make the mistake with, I see, is that people think a sconce is going to give them the same amount of light that a regular overhead fixture is going to give. And they don't. They don't give off the
not
same
at
amount
all.
Of light.
Not at all.
If you're looking for, you know, task lighting per se, a sconce is not necessarily going to do it. And
no,
I see
not.
That mistake made a lot, too.
No, it's not. Mm-mm. It's going to wash your walls. It's going to give you some safety lighting.
Right.
And it's also going to provide a mood, which is so important in today's environments.
Exactly. We were only down to our last 2 minutes. I want to talk finally about overhead lighting, that is recessed lights and cans and so on, because most of the newer homes or houses that want to become more updated are going to an overhead can or a recessed light, if you will. And those have changed a lot as well. Not only the bulb that goes in them, but the look themselves, the lens, the light, the baffle, the whole thing. Why don't you talk a little bit about recessed lights? Why don't you talk a little bit about that and what you're seeing as far as cans are concerned?
Recessed lighting comes in a number of different diameters. You can go 4-inch, 3-inch, 5-inch, 6-inch. The lower the ceiling, the smaller the aperture of the recessed lighting you want to use. And that's a lot said in a very short period of time. You could dress it by different trims. You could get different finish trims. You can get bronze. You can get chrome. You can get satin nickel. You could get different lenses, as you said earlier. It depends upon the look. Depends upon the use of the room.
Right.
It depends upon a lot of different things. You can get different types of recessed lights. It's not just a can anymore.
Right. But is the look of the can? People are requesting to me, I'm hearing a lot, smaller cans. Are the smaller lights more popular now?
The smaller lights are more popular on lower ceilings. That's
okay.
Correct. What's very important is the spacing and the positioning of the lights.
Right.
Are you
getting less light when you're getting a smaller can or a smaller recessed
light? You're using a smaller bulb.
Okay, so you are
you're getting lesser light. Yep,
right.
yep. You are.
So, again, should that be more proportionate to the space? If you have tall ceilings and a big room, you shouldn't necessarily use a lot more 3-inch cans?
Again, it depends upon the function of the particular light that you're using in that particular space.
Okay.
It's all about functionality of the particular light that you're using. That's why it's so important not just to go out and just buy 6-inch cans and throw them up.
Right.
As a lot of people do, and they find out after it's done. Then it's an expensive proposition. Because they're in the wrong place.
Right. Well, Bruce, that's why it's important to go to, not go to the big box stores, but necessarily to check out a place such as yourself, a Flemington Fan in Lighting, and talk to an expert and get the right size cans and the right sized fixtures for your
home. Very true.
Well, we're down to our last 30 seconds, and I just want to thank everybody for tuning into Modern Design. The program has grown significantly since I started in January, and I'm pleased to make an announcement that we're going to add a second hour to Modern Design on Wednesdays. We're also going to be on from 2 to 3, and we're going to have more of a call-in show where you guys can call in with your design questions and dilemmas, so that's going to start in the next couple of weeks. So we'll have Modern Design 2 on Wednesdays from 2 to 3. And until I talk to you next Wednesday, I hope you guys have a great week. Get out there, get shopping, get out, take walks, enjoy your life. And we'll see you next week with more of Modern Design.
USA Headline News. I'm Ron Taylor. ISIS says it has dozens of soldiers in more than a dozen U.S. states. The terrorist group posted the claim online Tuesday, saying it has 71 fighters in 15 states across the U.S. Former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani tells Fox News the online warning from ISIS shouldn't be taken lightly.
Take them seriously. Don't discount it. And it may even be an understatement.
The group says its fighters are ready to attack, quote, any target we desire.
ISIS singled out anti-Muslim blogger Pamela Geller and, quote, anyone who hides or hosts her in its threat. Geller organized Sunday's Prophet Muhammad cartoon contest in Garland, Texas. Maryland's governor is expected to address the state of emergency in Baltimore today. Governor Larry Hogan said that he would lift the order after the last of the National Guard troops leave the city. The German wing's co-pilot accused of intentionally crashing a jetliner in the French Alps is now accused of practicing on an earlier flight the day of the crash. A report released today says Andreas Lubitz set the altitude dial to 100 feet five different times while alone in the cockpit. This is USA Headline News.
If you're losing your hair, it's probably thinning, drying out, or breaking off. There's an incredible new product you need to know about. It's called Ovation Cell Therapy. Men and women across the country are raving about it.
I can't believe it. No prescriptions, no transplants, just a shampoo and simple application of Ovation Cell Therapy. It really works. My hair is stronger and thicker in just weeks.
My hairstylist suggested Ovation Cell Therapy to help restore my brittle and damaged hair. Wow, I can't believe how shiny and long my hair is now.
Ovation Cell Therapy really works.